Hello ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's training titled Office 365 Labs Skype for Business Online. My name is Tina and I will be in the meeting for the first 15 minutes, so if you have any issues, you can contact me by typing a message into the IM window. I'm logged into this meeting as meeting room operator. During this session, you have the ability to ask questions using the IM window. You can also send us an email to vereksup@microsoft.com. Please note that this session is being recorded. Thank you in advance. And now, I would like to hand you over to today's instructors, Dan and Silvio.
Thank you very much, Tina. Hello, everybody, also from my side, and welcome to this fourth and final webcast from the Office 365 Labs series. Until now, we discussed a lot about identity, about Exchange, about SharePoint. As you may know, today we will focus a lot on Skype for Business. And in doing so, it's very important that, let's say, we won't focus a lot on, for example, Skype for Business hybrid deployments. But, however, we want to give you an overview about, let's say, the brand new offerings that come with Skype for Business, and then to help you plan a deployment for Skype for Business with your partners and customers. And, of course, last but not least, if there are any problems, how can you perform very quick some basic or even maybe advanced troubleshooting steps in order to resolve problems as soon as possible for your customer. And that's why the agenda for today is very simple. We want to become more familiar with Skype for Business Online. We want to know which available deployment options we have and what products and services we have in the Skype for Business Online umbrella. And of course, the key takeaways that we want to give you today is how to start and make some basic troubleshooting in Skype for Business deployments, where there are any problems, and so on. That told, I want to underline once again, we will focus only on Skype for Business Online. So if you're expecting to find out exactly how to troubleshoot some Skype for Business server issues and so on, this is unfortunately not a part on which we will concentrate right in this specific webcast. But if we see that there is a great interest in this type of topic, then of course we can plan and also make such a webcast when we will concentrate on Skype for Business server issues and so on. But let's go a step further, just to present ourselves, that you know who your presenters are. First, my name is Dan. I'm a partner technical consultant with Microsoft, working on this team for around 1 year and a half. Before joining this team, I was also working with Microsoft, and I was mainly doing support on Office 365 identity issues. So this means, as you know, Azure AD Connect, the former DHSync, and ADFS, and so on. So let's say I'm not very familiar directly with the troubleshooting Skype for Business Online issues, and that's why I'm not alone here in this webcast, and I also brought a colleague of mine, which has a very, very deep expertise when it comes to Skype for Business issues, and I will let my colleague introduce himself.
Hello everybody, I'm Silvio Leca, Premier Engineer for Skype for Business Online. I'm glad to meet you today, and as my colleague Dan said, I will take over the second part of our meeting to show you basic and a little bit of the trouble of the advanced troubleshooting for Skype for Business. Thank you, Dan.
Also, thank you very much, Silvio. Let's then go further. Just a few more things before we get started. As Silvio mentioned, the first part, we will have a brief presentation about what's coming in Skype for Business Online, how you can deploy it, and so on. And then I think this part would be around 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes. And then afterwards, what we will have in this webcast are only live demos. So Silvio will show you how you can get some things done. How can you check network problems? How can you troubleshoot some issues, and so on. So really, we try to do a little presentation and then go further to the hands-on part of this webcast. So if we want to deploy Skype for Business, mainly we would have three options. The first one, of course, is the on-premise option that I'm sure that you are very familiar with when you deploy your Skype for Business server infrastructure, where you can also deploy, if you have also other third-party tools and hardware, you can deploy enterprise voice services and so on. So this is merely an on-premise scenario. Then on the right side here on this slide, we have the cloud scenario. So when we deploy Skype for Business online, this is mainly a cloud service, let's say. And of course, when we compare Skype for Business online to Skype for Business on premises, there may be some limitations right now, but that we already started to address also in our cloud services. And then there is a third option if you want, in a certain way, let's say, to bring the best of both worlds together, that you deploy a hybrid environment. So where you have still your Skype for Business server infrastructure, but you connect it to your Skype for Business online services. And then you can have part of your users hosted on the Skype for Business server and another part of the users hosted on Skype for Business online. So these are the main three deployment scenarios. The pros and cons, I think you are all aware of. In on-premises, you have full control of your servers and everything you do on them. In cloud only, this a little bit more, let's say, scalable. You don't have to run your own hardware, so you don't have to invest a lot in maintenance, in planning hardware changes and so on. But of course, then you are in full control of your data, but still there might be some kind of, let's say, you cannot see exactly how the server load looks like when you are using Skype for Business online. And then there is the hybrid options, where we bring part of the pros from all from both of these scenarios together, so that you still have your servers, but you can also, let's say, take advantage of all the pros that the Skype for Business online service could offer you. Now, we have also incorporated this slide because in working with customers and partners and so on, I really often found out or thought that there are some terms when we speak about Skype for Business online that may cause some confusion. So the PSTN conferencing, PSTN calling, Cloud PBX, what is it, and so on. And that's why I wanted to include in this presentation, which, by the way, you will also receive from my side, a list of terms that we use and what each term or service that is listed here means, and what we try to inform you using these terms. So I won't dwell on this very much. Just you have to know that you will receive this presentation, so you would also have a way to be familiar with all the Skype for Business terminology. Now, as I said, we also want to give you a short look in what's coming in Skype for Business online, because, as I said at the beginning, Skype for Business online is right now the cloud service from Office 365 that evolves very, very fast, and we try to bring a lot of new features in this service. And one of these, for example, is Skype Meeting Broadcast. And this is a very, very interesting feature that allows you to broadcast Skype meetings for an audience of up to 10,000 people. So as you may be familiar, we have a limitation for Skype for Business online meetings to 250 participants. Now with Skype Meeting Broadcast, you are able to broadcast a meeting to all, let's say, employees that you may have. For example, we also use this tool, Skype Meeting Broadcast, internally when, for example, our CEO is doing some all hands meetings. Then, of course, we are a lot of employees and we cannot attend all a certain Skype meeting, so that's why we normally use Skype Meeting Broadcast. And this service is now available worldwide. You can use it if you want, and you can check it out, how it works, and I think you will find it great. Then we have another service, which is PSTN conferencing. And this service is now available in 15 different geographies, so almost everywhere around the world. In total, I have to say we have, 19 regions, and in 15 of them we have this feature, from Skype for Business Online. And for the others four, we still plan to offer this type of feature also to the four regions that right now are not covered by it. Then when we think about voice, we have the cloud PBX service or feature, which is also right now available worldwide. You can have it if you want. You can buy an add-on or an Office 365 license like E5 that already has this feature included. Then we have a very, very cool thing that is coming, and I really can't wait that this will be also available here in Europe, and this is PSTN calling. This is very, very important. That's something that all our customer wants to have in Skype for Business Online, and this means that you would basically be able to have in your Skype for Business Online infrastructure to receive real phone numbers that you can assign to users, and users would be able then to place calls, also let's say calls on mobile, from this number. And also they would be able to receive calls, of course, on this number. So this is basically the real and full enterprise voice solution that we plan to have also in Skype for Business Online. So right now this feature is running in the US, but we plan a phased expansion also to other regions, meaning in this case EMEA. Although we have to say that this type of feature has also a lot of legal things in background, and this is why it could be that this feature would be available in certain countries earlier, but in other countries a little bit later. And then, of course, we have the possibility to connect our on-premise PSTN to the cloud, and this is also available right now everywhere. Then we have another cool thing that is coming soon, and this is something that would interest more, let's say, very big customers and companies that have offices around the world, maybe on different continents. And this is, let's say, a thing where you can, for example, choose to use the same service but from a different regions. For example, if you have some offices in Germany, let's say, that then you would use the Skype for Business online from the servers hosted in EMEA. But for example, if you have also users in the US, those users would basically use the Skype for Business online infrastructure that is hosted in a data center in the United States. And this is also something very interesting for bigger customers. Now, we talked about Cloud PBX. Let's briefly look at what this is. So basically, Cloud PBX is a service that enables you to connect, let's say, your local infrastructure to a PBX system that is hosted in the cloud. What this means is that you can basically replace your old phone central that you have on premises and use instead this offering that we use in the cloud. Now, also, as I said, in order to use this type of feature, you need, of course, to acquire a certain Office 365 plan that has this feature in it, or you can have this as add-on to your current Office 365 license that you are using in the company. And I talked already about Skype meeting broadcast. This is something very, very interesting. I fully encourage you to try this feature out. This is available with basically all Office 365 enterprise plans, like also E2, E3, and of course E5. So you do not need an E5 plan in order So you do not need to add an Office 365 plan in order to have this feature available. You already can use it if you have an E2 or E3 plan. Now, of course, as we stream a lot of content, we also need to rely on a certain service that is able to stream this content and to display it for different devices, because the content that you stream, that you film with your camera and that you want to stream, of course you want to make it available for computers, for phones, for tablets and so on, so in different resolutions. And that's why we rely on this service on Azure Media Services, which does basically everything in background what a real broadcast needs. So it basically takes the stream that comes from your cameras, then it is processed in Azure Media Services. It is properly encoded for different type of devices, and then when a user tries to access that stream, for example, if I try to access it from my phone, then Azure will see that, okay, I want to display this on my phone, and will stream to my phone the version of the stream that is perfect for my device. If somebody uses, for example, let's say a Surface Hub, which is a very big device with a very big display, then Azure Media Services will stream to that device, let's say, a stream that is perfect for that type of device. So very, very interesting. Then, of course, we have, I also talked about the Surface Hub, we have this room-based video in Skype for Business online. Now, we can deploy, for example, the Surface Hub with Skype for Business online. And this is very, very important. So if you have Skype for Business online and say, okay, could I maybe have also a Surface Hub? Could these two, let's say the product and this service be integrated? The answer is yes. However, there are some things that you would have to take into consideration if you plan to deploy the Surface Hub using other video teleconferencing systems that you may have. Now, if you have, for example, a Skype for Business infrastructure, then a Skype for Business server, sorry, then you would be able, for example, also to integrate this Surface Hub with some of the third-party VTCs that you may have. For example, we have in the Skype for Business server the so-called video interoperability service, a server role, that you can then, for example, enable to work with some selected Cisco endpoints. Also, we have some endpoints from Polycom that could be integrated also with the Surface Hub and so on. And a very important note here, it's very important that all meetings that involve a VTC, these meetings should be hosted in Skype for Business server, not online. So if you want to have a Surface Hub and you also have these VTCs running, then you would also need, but you probably have already, Skype for Business server infrastructure. Okay. Then, as I told, let's go a little bit more in the technical part. As we wanted, we want to give you as much information as it is possible. So that's why I put together on this slide a lot of documentation about all the features that we have here, so that you can simply use this slide, you can click on it, read about this type of service that you're looking for, how to use it, and so on. So basically you have everything here on this slide. Just use it, click on it, and you can then see the specific features that you want to implement, and you can see how to do step-by-step information and so on. Then also a very important part from the technical perspective is, because most companies that use Skype for Business, either server or online, mostly also have an Exchange server deployment. And maybe they have a pure Exchange server, or maybe they have Exchange Online, or maybe they have an Exchange hybrid. But if we want to integrate or to fully integrate all the features from Exchange with all the features from Skype for Business, then we would need, for example, to be attentive. If we have Skype for Business online, then of course we would also need Exchange Online for certain features to be available for all users. And you have here also some limitations of Exchange Server when you run it with Skype for Business Online. And I think for most of you, this type of limitations are kind of logical, because in an environment where these two infrastructures are not able to communicate properly, then certain features won't be available. And very important, for example, if you have an Exchange Server deployment in Skype for Business Online, then you won't be able, or your users won't be able to see presence information in Outlook Web Access. But for example, if you have an Exchange Hybrid with Skype for Business Online, this should be again available. So once again, if you are planning to do this, please pay attention about the exact scenario of the Exchange infrastructure, so that you can inform your customer what is possible and what is not an option for this specific scenario that they have. Now we have also here very briefly enumerated some currently unsupported scenarios. And here, for example, we are not able, or it is not supported, to split voice and meetings between on-premises and online for users. So this won't work. So it's if you have a user, then you have to decide, okay, do I want my user have his meetings and voice services in Skype for Business Server, or do I want my user to have all the voice services in Skype for Business Online? So it's not possible, for example, to split and use it some services from on-premise and some services from online. Then also, when we talk about the cloud to on-premise scenario, we have to be aware that cloud users cannot use on-premises conferencing through on-premises PSTN conferencing. So this is also a kind of limitation that you would have to be very careful when planning, for example, which users do you want to move to Skype for Business Online. Because let's say as a best practice, and normally what I have seen with customers that I work with, is that in most of the companies, let's say there are some users for which, for example, you want to give them all the services that are available in your company, like enterprise voice, conferencing, and so on. And these are normally, let's say, maybe executives, or let's say very important users that talk to partners and so on. But you also have users in your company that may not need all these services. And in this case, companies decide, for example, to move this type of users that do not need really all these services to the cloud, where they can still have IP voice and so on. They can chat, they can make calls, they can attend to Skype conferences and so on, but they won't have all the features from the on-premises infrastructure. Also, when we talk about a scenario from on-premise to the cloud, it's basically logical to the previous point that on-premise users cannot also use the PSTN conferencing feature from Microsoft. So, yeah, you have to be attentive once again how you want to plan this. And last but not least, when you want to broadcast a meeting, using an appliance-based media caching solution, then it is also not supported. What you can use, for example, when you want to broadcast, to use Skype meeting broadcast, is, for example, SDNs, software delivery or software-defined networks. And that using SDN, you can, however, decide and define in a certain way how traffic should flow and so on. And our tests show that using Skype meeting broadcast with an SDN solution could optimize your network usage up to until 90%. And this is also very, very important. Good. And the last part of the presentation, because maybe not all of you are very, very technical and want also to look a little bit also in the sales side of Skype for Business Online, I put here some graphs, some basic workflows or a basic decision trees based on which you can decide what service you can offer to a certain customer based on his needs and so on. And here you have, for example, the PSTN conferencing feature, and you can here, let's say, ask these questions to your customers, and based on their answers, then you would be able to know when to offer them, for example, Skype for Business online with PSTN conferencing, when to offer, for example, Skype for Business online with or in collaboration with an ACP provider, or, for example, when to propose to your customer maybe a full Skype for Business server infrastructure. Then the same thing goes also for the Cloud PBX feature. Again, you can then ask these questions to your customer, and based on their answers, you could know exactly, okay, what type of service or product is optimal for that specific customer. Is it maybe a Skype for Business online with the Cloud PBX add-on, or is it, for example, a Skype for Business server? It's integrating Skype for Business server with an already existing PBX infrastructure. So basically, this slide should help you decide, for example, in different customer scenarios, when to offer one type of service and when to offer another type of service. Good. And now we have to go to the second part, let's say, and when you have offered to a customer a service that we have discussed in the previous slides, okay, the first thing that you would have to do is to assess really if the network is ready. And here there are some very key things that we would need to take into consideration. And we would also need to know exactly how to plan this and how to scale the network that the customer has, and so on. And Silvio will show you exactly how you can do this, what tools you can use, and so on. So right now, I would then give the word to Silvio, and he would take over and present his desktop and start showing you how you can do some basic network planning activities. So Silvio.
Thank you very much. I will start to present the second part, but I thought it is nice to be split into three parts. So the first part will be the implementation. The second part will be the troubleshooting. And the third part will be the monitoring. So for the first part, I would like to continue by sharing a nice tool that will answer to some questions of you. And this is a tool I'm using when I'm planning with our customer.
I think we cannot see your screen.
Just a second. I'm taking over now.
Okay. I'll try to present your screen once again, maybe.
Okay.
So until Silvio takes over, everything that he will discuss, the tools that he will show, the websites and so on, these are also documented in this PowerPoint presentation that you will receive afterwards, so that you would have really all information that has been presented here. You would most probably receive this type of presentation probably on Monday, because until then I have to get the reporting about the attendance and so on. Please note, however, that you will receive this presentation on the email address with which you registered for this webcast. And I say this because there are a lot of cases when partners or customers register to the webcast, of course, using Microsoft account, but then wait for this email to receive on their normal work email, and we do not know which email to send it, so we always send it to the email with which you registered to this webcast. And I see Silvio now presents his desktop, so Silvio, you have the word.
Thank you, Dan. As I told you, I will start with another tool. It is called Fast Track Network Analysis. This is a tool you can access by using the URL that is published in the PowerPoint. The only requirement you have is to install a Java applet. Here you can see already a report for test I launched before. So I will start, and I will start over by launching a new test. As you can see, when launching this page, all you need to do is to enter the on Microsoft or the other domain you have added to the portal, to the Office 365 portal. In my case, I will test with my test tenant. The first thing you can see is related to the basic requirements. Not all of them are for Skype for Business. Some of them are related to the other services, to Exchange and Outlook. In my case, I will show you the main ports that should be allowed for Skype for Business and Skype broadcast communication. There is also a list for, I think you already are aware of it, a list with the ports and IP and DNS requirements. In our case, we have no problem since I'm connected to a machine that is already prepaid. But what you might expect for the machines and for the environments where you are testing, and you will see probably in the environments where a firewall, a proxy, some policies are applied, you will see a lot of red color instead of green. The connection will be blocked. And you will see exactly which are the ports that are blocked. In our case, all are red. But what you need to check are the UDP ports, TCP ports, the UDP and TCP protocols with the specific ports that are required for Skype for Business services. You can see also if the ports dedicated to the audio and video communication are blocked or not. Going forward, in the next step, you will see if something like a firewall might block the connection. This will help when you will troubleshoot using Netmon or Message Analyzer or Wireshark, whatever you are working with. And this second tab is a good answer to the question that I received during the first part. I already provided in the chat with the requirements. Here you can see and you can test your bandwidth. You will see that not only the bandwidth is important. If you are in the green area, you can expect to have enough bandwidth to work both audio and video communications. Another part that is also important is about the jitter. Jitter is an option that is measuring the the not only the band, but only the frequency of the packages that are going through the network. So if you will have a big latency, you might expect or a broken sound or most frequently voice and video problem. Here you can see the download capacity and upload capacity, and you can compare with the requirements from the documentation I provided you with. You can check if you have packet losses. You have to know that even there are some packet losses, Sky for Business can manage, can deal with it if you are using the UDP protocol. Another way to check, and this is from client perspective, is to check for the audio signal, for the communication signal you can see during the conferences. There is a graph here, I will not insist on it, but I will continue with a summary you will receive after using, after finishing that test. And there are two components here we are interested here, and in some situation when you are using, for example, a wireless connection instead of a LAN connection, you might expect, as you can see, some below average values, like the consistency of the service or the quality of the service. What does it mean? In our case, we can see that we can produce a constant stream of data, and we have a relatively constant stream of data finally that will not put pressure and will not give us problems during audio and video conferences. Okay, let's go to the next part. So this tool is helping us to identify the protocols and the ports that are required. You will see now a second tool that can be used to check additional requirements. This tool is called Office 365 Client Performance Analyzer. As you can see, can identify even in the test phase, is useful to have it, can identify some DNS and internet provider issues, can collect some information about customer's local configuration, like operating system, browser, hardware configuration, can even measure the bandwidth, and as you can see, currently it can be used on a large on all supported operating systems like Windows 7, 8, and 10. I also added the link where you can launch it. And for me, since it is already installed, I will start a live demo. Uh, I didn't start with this because this is not oriented mainly to Sky for Business Online, but to Exchange. So you can use it for the information and for the tests that are that can be used in common with Exchange. So I will add my test address. And in a couple of minutes, we should have a nice report, a little bit different of the second one. You will see again some DNS requirements. You will see also some ports that are required for the communication. While waiting for the report, I would like to let you know that even if you are using only Skype for business services, before implementing it, you need to make sure you have checked out the identity and the portal requirements. So there are more type of requirements, the basic requirements that are for all Office 365 services, and there are specific requirements in our case for Skype for Business. While waiting for this report, I will continue by showing you in the Skype for Business portal, I'll show you some tools that you can use to troubleshoot the Skype for Business problems. In the Skype for Business Administrator Center on the left dashboard, you can see the last option called Tools. And here you have five tools. We will talk about most of them during our session. The one I want to present now is called Microsoft Remote Connectivity Analyzer. This is a tool, probably you already use it. You have to know that it has also some options dedicated to Skype for Business and also for Skype and link servers. If you are already using a hybrid or on on-prem infrastructure, you can use that tab for most tests. For Office 365, the test we will perform is under Office 365 General Test, and it is called Office 365 link domain name server test. I'm insisting on it because I found a lot of situations where a new added domain wasn't configured properly, and this is raising big issues for our customers. So after selecting and clicking on Next, we can add here any addresses we have in our domains, and of it is mandatory, but it doesn't ask for a password. So it is enough to know the domain, and you can test it against the DNS records. Every time, excepting the case you are in China, you have to select the first option. The documentation also, you need to check, doesn't include the ViaNet, that is a provider for Chinese connection that has a special status. In our case, I will proceed by proving I am not a robot. And now I'm verified for 1.5 hours, so I can perform any tests. The result is coming up very fast, and we can expand all. What we will see here? In our case, we are talking again about a service domain on Microsoft that is properly configured, and all SRV record, the two SRV records, the CNAMEs are correctly configured. They are configured by default. Let's take another domain just to be able to compare. I will add the domain that was configured in the past. Let's check which is its current status. As I expected, this connection test failed. What does it mean? It means that the records couldn't be verified, and probably they are not filled in, or they are improperly configured. The good news are that here we can, and we have some suggestions. We are pointed to some KB articles where we can find the proper records that should be added. Let's take the first one. And we will see which are the expected SRV records allowing the Skype communication. Without them, in some cases, the users will be unable to connect to Skype. In other cases, they will be able, but they will not be able to communicate with other users, mainly with external users, because they will not be found during the initial search. Let's go back to see if the previous test is finished. As you can see, it is. After checking the computer configuration, I can see, and what is very important for me is to have the first and the second port opened. This will allow the authentication during the sign-in phase. And it will check also a nice thing, how many network hops are from my machine to the Office 365 services. We can see 20, I guess 25, so we are fine. We can see we have no packet loss, and the latency is acceptable. We can see there is no proxy authentication enabled. And we can see that the download bandwidth is acceptable too. Okay, let's continue with the next step. What is very important when configuring and implementing Office 365 Sky for Business, after checking the bandwidth, network, internet service performance, the IPs and the ports, the protocols, what is important is to make sure we have added the proper licenses for our users. So the simplest would be to check directly in our Sky for Business Administrator portal, and if we are selecting a user, we can see which are the assigned licenses. I'm sorry, normally not from the Sky for Business, but from the main portal, you can see that. So we need to go back to the administrator portal. In the active user list, and we can see for that, for my test user, we have assigned full package Enterprise E5. If something is missing or should be removed, we have to check or to add it or to remove. Of course, for advanced options like PSTN conferencing, cloud PBX, we have separate licenses. I talked in our presentation, I talked also about the provisioning. Provisioning means that after assigning a license, this is correctly deployed and recognized by the Sky for Business service. It might happen that after adding some or different licenses for a single user, it might have, or after switching from a plan to another, it might happen to have some provisioning issues. In that case, the simplest would be to remove and to re-add the license. In case this doesn't change the situation, you can contact us and we can check internally to get you to give you an answer about the current status. And another interesting thing about the licensing provisioning is the next one that comes often after provisioning a user. The next thing is to try to activate a client that user that you the users are downloading from our portal. Let's see how we can troubleshoot some activation problem. We have another tool. That is called Microsoft Support and Recovery Assistant. This is not a fully oriented Sky for Business tool, but this will help you when you are trying to activate Skype for business clients that are coming together with the office setup. We have to go through the menu and select the proper option. In our case, I can activate. Of course, it is recommended to launch this tool from the affected machine. And this test will show up and will help us to understand if there are also authentication issues. So if I'm adding here my test username and I'm adding a wrong password, it will confirm that the password is not accepted. And let's go back. Let's here you can see that okay, just a second to relaunch it. Now, I will go further using the right email address, username and password. I thought that in some cases the user principal name that is corresponding to the AD user account could be different of the email address. So when testing, usually the user principal name should be the same with the user name for the Skype for Business Online user. The first thing is to check the current version. This will help us to identify the versions that we want to install to see if they are compatible with other software. Now a second test will start again. After checking the ports, we'll check also the information about the license. We can see a summary. and we don't have any other details about the license, but we have the confirmation that the license is assigned and provisioned. Regarding the connection that allows the activation for Sky for Business 2, in case you have some issues, you might expect to have some failed connections here, and you will be able to point to the ones that should be allowed, to the URLs or to the ports that should be allowed to activate the product that you installed. Now, let's go to the next step in our troubleshooting. Again, from the Sky for Business administrator portal. We have some links that we can use to start a basic troubleshoot. There are two versions for this guide. This is the version for the administrators that is more specialized. I will show you also the user version in case you are not aware of it. So the first test that is recommended to a user is to check if the link or Sky for Business online services are available for him. This is also useful when the user doesn't have an auto client, but he needs to create a meeting. After performing this test, okay, we can take any of the situations. We will go further with the failed scenario where the user is not able to connect to that page. In this case, in most situations, the user is not able because he has probably an Exchange license or a different license, but he has no Skype for Business online license. There are some situations where the user is created in the local ID, and for some reasons the information, the password is not synchronized from the local ID, so the next step would be a password reset. Let's go further with a scenario where the user is able to connect to the sketch.link.com page, but he isn't able to connect to the client. So, as previously stated, the user ID should be the same with the AD or the user principal name. If they aren't, you need to check which is the AD user configuration. some other errors are presented, some other situations with error message are presented. So another test that helps is to try from a different device just to isolate the problem. And in case we are able to connect from a different device, we can make sure that on our device we don't have a policy that is changing the current hour. For security reasons, the maximum difference between the local hour and the time that is configured for that user, for his time zone, that difference should be up to 5 minutes. If it isn't, the system and the Sky for Business servers might consider that somebody is trying to access the account without proper permissions, and it will not allow the connection. Another step is to check if only the network we are using is not allowing to connect, and if you are able to connect to Skype using a different connection, you have to check, or the user has to check with the network administrators. Let's go further to more advanced scenario that is interesting you as administrators. We have three situations when only one or a couple of users are impacted, or a single site is impacted, or all users are impacted. Of course, if you are taking the last scenario, the first thing you should check is the Office 365 portal. On the main page, you have under Service Health, you have the service interruptions, and in case the users aren't able to connect to Skype, this could come from a portal issue or to a link online issue. If it is not the case, we need to specify which is the domain that is used, the service domain, that means on Microsoft domain, or other domain that was added by us, a custom domain. In case you are using a hybrid or on-prem deployment, you need to set up before adding the domain, you need to set it up using some PowerShell commands. For the custom domain, you can configure it also from the Office 365 portal, and you can check its status. You have also a troubleshoot option that you can use to check. You can check the records also by using the remote connectivity page, where we tested and we checked the DNS records before. Another test, it is similar to the one suggested in the user guide, and There are more scenarios. I will not enter into details because I want to continue with some other tools. And going forward to the advanced troubleshooting, there are some tools that are very important and they are helping us to identify problems that aren't identified during the basic troubleshooting. So the first thing I will just show you is to enable the logs in the client. In the standard configuration, the logs are already enabled in the Sky4 Business client. If they aren't, you can simply go to the tools options. In the general, you have two options. The first is logging in Sky4 Business. Here you can switch to full. And the second is to collect the logs that can be retrieved in the Windows events. After enabling it, you need to find them, and in order to find them, you need to go to APP data. So you might have similar folders in the rooming, but you don't have to make some confusion. So please make sure you are not in rooming, but in the local APP data, Microsoft. Now, it is important to search for Office, not for Office 365. In some situations, if you are going to Office 365, you might have nothing or something that is not helping you at all. So after Microsoft, please make sure you are going to the Office. Now you have again to choose. If you are searching on a machine that uses Office or Skype 2010, you might have also the folder called 14.0. In my case, you have only two of them. If it happens to have both versions or clients from both versions installed on your machine, you should check for the last modified. In my case, the version 15.0 was last modified the past year. So it is obvious I'm using the last version 16 or 2016. Here we need to check in link. In link folder you can see all the profiles that were logged in the machine. So my corporate profile, profile that doesn't exist, it is a typo here after the at, and my test account profile. Now we are going to the tracing and we will find more and different files. The most important are the following: the UCAPI log file and the ETL files. There is also a different location for the traces that are collected for the users that are synced with the local ID. It is not my case. So I will give you, after our call, I will give you KB where you can find both of them. What is interesting and what I'm suggesting to present you is the ECAPI log file, the tool that can open the file is called Snooper, and this tool is coming with the debugging tool. In the presentation, in the PowerPoint presentation, you can see the link where you can download the debugging tool, and after installing them, you can find Snooper. What is important, and I will give you some tips in order to help you with the collection and with the analysis, is to avoid big files, because it will take for you and for us, in case we need to troubleshoot, it will take a lot of time to check all the content, and it will be quite difficult to transfer the big files using the email system. So if you want to collect properly the files, the best would be to sign out Skype, even Office if it is installed. After that, to make sure that you don't have any Office or Skype process on, because otherwise, in order to get fresh new traces, if any process is still up, you will not be able to collect the new traces. There is a tip: you should rename this tracing folder in order to generate fresh traces, relevant traces for the debugging. You will get this error message for sure if Skype is signed in or Office is signed in. So let's continue with the troubleshooting. You will install Snooper, and you will open the ECAPI log file. You can double click on it, or you can open from the menu. This is a file I collected before, and you should expect some error messages. A nice and more accessible view can be find in the second tab that is called Messages, and here you can see the SIP protocol communication. That means you cannot see what user is talking, what is chatting, but you can see from which machine is communicating, from which user to which user, and you will see the authentication process, the negotiation process. You will see probably more errors that occurs when the user is not able to chat or is not able to make audio or video calls. In our case, after the initial authentication, that is fine. We have 200 OK. That means the authentication wasn't blocked by anything. You can see, and it might happen to be blocked because of the certificate that is expired because of the network restrictions. What is interesting to see here is the communication between a user and another. In our case, I know that I used a communication between my test account and my corporate account. Before having place, the first thing user is doing when is logging in is to check the list of the contacts. So you will see a lot of usernames that are verified because we want to get their presence. And as you can see, only here. So after this initial verification, only here our communication started. And what you can see here that there are some steps that are appearing during each communication. It is a trying process, a progress process, a ringing process. There is a process showing that our communication is in place. And we can see that the communication finished. It is not communication with problems, so we cannot see specific error messages. But we can see in the details, for example, that the user, my test user, canceled the communication with the corporate user. And the last tool I would like to present, it is Fiddler. Fiddler is helping us a lot when we have authentication issues and they are related to the network and internet communication. I will not enter into the details because we don't have the time. What I would like to show you is how to collect again, how to collect proper logs, because if the logs aren't collected properly, we will not be able to see anything. So I also added to the PowerPoint presentation the link you can use to download it. And after downloading and installing, in order to get all the communication, you need to go to the tools and filter options. And in HTTP tab, you need to check both capture HTTP connects and decrypt HTTP traffic. This will install a certificate on the machine where filter is installed, and you will be able to see the traffic that is collected. And you will see here the queries and answers that are coming through the network. You'll be able to see if the Microsoft or Office 365 servers are discovered, and if you can go properly to them. And the last part is about monitoring. For the monitoring, there are two possibilities. The first one is the newest one, an option that was added to the Skype for Business Administrator portal. And these monitors, okay, I need to stop because filter is not, filter certificate is not recognized. Okay. So, this tool is monitoring the quality of the calls. This is useful to see how is going on during different periods, and this it helps you to correlate with possible problems that might be in the network, in the network infrastructure. So I added to the PowerPoint presentation the URL. You need to sign in, and you will get a report, more reports, depending on the services that were used in the organization. So you don't have to expect to have reports if the users are not communicating, and you will see different reports depending on the daily usage, depending on the audio streams, and depending of the quality of the calls. Here you have good, poor, and poorest. And the second way, you can take even more reports is PowerShell. In PowerShell, after logging in, you have some commandlets. I selected only a part of them. I will give you some examples to see how it works. So the first one is a report, user report for which you have more parameters. You can select the period, starting and end date. You can select the type of report. In our case, I wanted to have a weekly report. So for that period, I have 5 weeks, and I can see for my tenant how many users I have and which are the services that they used in Skype for Business Online. If they have used chat, audio, video, the sharing, application transfer files, or conferencing. So we can see, for example, for video, I only have one user during the first week. If we want to see a report for only for the audio video conferences, we can use a different command, and we can will have a month report for larger period, and this report is counting how many minutes were spent by the users during the audio video conferences. You can see we have in my test tenants we have some months without audio video, and we have some only five months with audio video conferences during the test I have had. We can have also, this is the, I want to show only three other reports because they are also interesting. This report is showing the devices that are used by specific users, so we can see if they which are the users and which are devices that are used. This could be also a good step when trying to find out which is the device that is impacted for a specific user during his communications. And we can see also a conference report.
Silvio, can you provide to us and also to send to all the participants all these command lists that you used for this presentation?
The commandlets are available by I can search for a KB. So are you talking only about the?
I talk about these ones that you used as an example,
yes.
Because I think our partners could have this only as a reference on how these commandlets are constructed, how those would work, and so on.
I see. I can provide them with just right now. I can provide with the list I used for my example. And I can search also for a KB showing for more details. What? Let me paste them in the chat.
Okay, and I think we should wrap it up right now. Do you still have some things that you would really, really like to show, or?
I think I have only a last report that will take 10 seconds to show it up. This is a report, a different report that could give some details about the about a specific user. Let me show it now. So this report will give us details about the user, its SIP address, the conference ID, the URL used for the conference ID, and the fact he is licensed or not. So with the monitoring and reporting phase, I finished my presentation. I want to thank you for attending our meeting. Thank you, Dan, for helping with this presentation. And we'll try to answer your questions after this call.
Okay, Silvio, thank you very much for being here and sharing with you some very basic tips on how to proceed when planning a Skype for Business infrastructure, when planning requirements for the network, and how to proceed when we have troubleshooting. I would also like to thank you all for being in this webcast, and I hope that you had a lot of content that it would be very important for you to use with your customers. I know it was a little bit longer, 1 hour and 30 minutes, that was planned like this, because we wanted to show you these type of things. Right now, the last thing I would want to say to you is I would send all the information, the slide deck, the recording of this video, and the commandlets and so on, in an email, most probably on Monday. So please check your email addresses that you used when you registered for this webcast for all the content from this presentation. It could be also that you would receive at a certain point very soon, let's say, an invite for a feedback for this webcast. It would be great if you could find 2 minutes really to rate your experience and the amount of information that you received here. Normally, the rating system is from 1 to 9, meaning that with 9 you were satisfied with this webcast, and 1, of course, that you were not at all satisfied. So please take a few minutes to give us your feedback. It is very important to us, because if we find out that this type of webcast is useful for you, then we can plan also maybe in fall or starting with fall to produce some more webcasts, maybe to go deeper into some specific parts like Skype for Business, let's say Cloud PBX or Skype for Business hybrid infrastructure, and then we can show specific tips and tricks on that specific topic. Once again, thank you very much and have a nice day.